Welcome to today's podcast. It's worth considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We will continue our talk about randomness, or what could be said as the appearance of randomness. Does God intervene both in the big ways and also the small ways? Is the demonic world involved in the big ways and also the small way? Either way, it's worth considering.
Yeah, I think sometimes he intervenes supernaturally, specifically, and in positive ways, too. My grandpa once was falling off of a ladder. The ladder was going backwards, and he was, I don't know, three stories up or something. Probably would have killed him. And he felt hands on his back that placed him back against the house. Now people think, oh, that's crazy, that's stupid. Well, I mean, I don't expect anyone to believe it because, you know, you didn't know my grandpa, you didn't hear it. And why should you believe what he says? And people tell all kinds of crazy stories, so I don't really blame you. But if that's always your stance because you're so sure that God never intervenes in nature, then I'd say you got a really bizarre kind of Christianity.
Exactly. God intervenes in nature all the time. He did that in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, okay, guys,
exactly,
I'll see you in 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years and I'll intervene again. So,
right.
No, absolutely. God is involved, and so are his angels, and so is, you know, the demonic world involved. He created it to be involved in the world.
And I think we're going to see more and more of it, both sides.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
The war is intensifying, you know.
Yep.
Satan wants to, you know, it's kind of interesting. So here's a little different way in which we can go down this trail. You know, God wants to come in, but he wants to deliver, and his people are praying, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. People are being martyred, and the voices of the martyrs are saying, how long will it be? You know,
right.
And Satan, in one way, he doesn't want that to come. He knows his time is limited. Like the instance where, you know, Jesus cast the pigs out of He cast the demons out of the two men in the graveyard, and they went into the pigs. But before they went, they said, "Are you here to torture us before our time?" They know that their time is limited, and they want to push back that time as much as they can. And Jesus wants to bring it in, but you know, there is a resistance. So, kind of like they tried everything to do to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. They're doing everything they can to prevent Jesus from returning.
Right.
At least that's how I see it, you know. And so we see the hindrance of the gospel, right? We see that Satan is doing everything he can to hinder the gospel to go out to every people group.
You know? Right.
I was talking to my brother-in-law, who is with Greg's son, and Greg was telling me about you know, some of the work they're doing in Muslim countries, and the government has actually brought in, you know, 500,000 more Muslims because the gospel is having its way within this community, and they want to squash that, and the best way they can see to squash it is bring more Muslims in, right?
Wow.
So
that could well be what's going on in America too.
Yeah, but yes. Yeah, and this is interesting. So everything that Satan does, God says, fine, I'm going to make it work together for good. So instead of us having to go to the mission field comes to us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, instead of,
you know, maybe we'll.
Yes. Instead of the missionaries, like my brother Greg was talking about, guess what? Instead of them having to go to these unreached people group, these unreached people group are being moved to where the missionaries are. God says, bring whatever you want.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, over and over and over, like that story of Haman, you know, who built the gallows to hang, was it Mordecai?
Mordecai.
But anyway, Mordecai, it backfired on him, and he's the one who hung on him. So that's just the same old story for Satan over and over again.
Yeah.
And it'll be that way again now.
It's just, it's a wonderful to see a guy says, Satan, do whatever you want. I'm going to take what you do.
Right.
And you are going to be so upset because I'm going to work it to make it good. And you got to be, you kidding me? And the early gospel right. with all in the first century Christians and the martyrs, and because of that, where Satan seeked to destroy it, it actually became fertile ground in which the gospel only spread. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, God will be glorified.
Yeah.
There's no way around that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And it's, and the beautiful thing is, right, his glorification has to become, is a matter of his revelation, that he reveals himself. And that is how, as mankind sees it, he is glorified in it. For
yeah, exactly.
So,
and we're fulfilled in it, too, if we choose to be, if we put ourselves under that, or we'll be judged by it.
Yeah, we have a wonderful opportunity to give God this messed up lives we have, and for him to take it and says, guess what?
Yep.
I'll make something better of it than you could ever yep. have imagined.
Exactly.
Yeah. How many yeah. times, you know, you think of little kids and they'll bring you something that's broken, right? And they ask you, can you fix it? And he's like, fix it? I can make it better.
yeah.
my son-in-law, my dad had made these little wood horses. And matter of fact, maybe some of your kids got them as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
And so we gave that to Emily when she graduated from our house because we didn't want to keep this thing. And so
sure.
she took it to her house. My grandkids were playing on it. They broke it. Now, Drew, who's an engineer, he takes these pieces. Not only did he put it back together, he put it back together better than what my dad had put together because he had the ability
awesome.
And the knowledge to make this. Oh, I see what he did. It worked well for a time. I can do it better. That's exactly what God does.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, so often we think that we've messed our lives up so bad that we don't give God enough credit that it's nothing for him to fix it up better.
Exactly. And in the meantime, so you give that toy back, that it's like, wow, this is better. You know, when God gives our lives back to us, we go, oh my, God is
yeah.
glorified because I now see who God is, the maker of things that are broken into something so beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, for sure. Draws us closer to him, and then we have a testimony that he uses to bless others.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Hey, you know, last we talked about the two things that were going to happen in October. When, you know, Israel was one,
sure.
and I'm thinking, okay, we have a few more days left. Maybe something else is going to fall. Boom. and then I got to thinking.
Well, I mean, my gosh, what we're talking about here involving Iran, possibly Iran and Russia. I mean, literally, we could be talking about the beginning of World War III.
It could be. I mean, this could be the, you know, you could have Hezbollah coming from the north, which brings Iran in, you know, and you could look at, you know, Ezekiel
right.
37 and 38, and God says, I'm going to put a hook in your mouth, and I'm going to bring you into this battle. And that could be Russia, who doesn't want to come, but they're going to be forced to come because they're so tight with Iran, you know, that
right.
that could be. Maybe that'll happen, but what...
Maybe
what came to my mind, and I didn't call you on it because I think nah, and you haven't brought it up yet. But I want to get your response
right.
to this: is the Pope's
sure.
letter okay to some of the church or to some of the bishops? Maybe we'll start blessing same-sex marriages.
Oh sure, yeah.
So
yeah, there's the real question of serious Catholics as to whether or not the crisis that we're entering is as serious or will become worse than the Arian crisis of the, you know, was somewhere around 400.
Arian crisis. Why don't you explain to our readers what the Arian crisis, not Aaron, but Arian.
Yeah, just about the nature of Jesus, whether Jesus was God, you know.
So they were
and
questioning,
so,
was Jesus a created being or was Jesus
yeah.
God and has always been God?
Exactly. And so most of the church... believed that Jesus was not God. And those who believed that he was God, like, you know, famously Athanasius, were sorely persecuted. I mean, many of those people were killed. And Constantine's son, I forget his name, but anyway, he was an Arian. And so he persecuted Orthodox Christians who believed that Jesus was God. So, I mean, that was a real bad time, you know, 400s there with the Arian crisis.
Right. And we don't even question that today, do we?
That bad now, but yeah, I mean, well, a lot of Catholics do now because we're thinking, gosh, is this like the worst time in church history ever?
Right. I mean, unless you're a Jehovah Witness, you don't really go down that road and question, you know, is Jesus really God, you know?
No, right. Yeah, if you listen to somebody like Ralph Martin, I respect him. He's like, you know, a Catholic who's Orthodox and, you know, opened all the charismata also. So he was very involved through the Vatican with the charismatic renewal movement that started in Duquesne University and also then went to Notre Dame back in the early 70s, I think. But anyway, he talks about this issue. And
so what about this issue with the Pope and the letters that he's
written? Well, yeah, I mean, it's
what's,
yeah, yeah.
Explain it's, what it's, that's it's, all about. I'm sure that you're aware of it and you may have a better insight than I would. I mean, I heard it was in the news and I heard it beforehand before it made the newspapers that the...
Well, yeah, there's what's going on right now is called the Synod of Synodality. And through the month of October and very much influenced by the German heretic Catholics who want to fundamentally transform the church.
Ah, then Germans again.
Well, yeah, I know people like Luther's come out of there and, you know, all kinds of heresies. But anyway, you got to laugh at that one, right?
Yeah, that's right, the Reformation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's serious business,
yeah,
too.
The revolt, you know, all kinds of things like
that. No, I would say the revolt. It's interesting. Both begins with R. One's reform, one's revolt.
No, but no, anyway, I mean, I'm no expert on things, you know, and actually I've been doing a lot less listening and reading to things going on in the church and other news in the world. Because I find that it's, well, for one thing, I got enough going on in my own life and family to have to take care of more like day to day and not to be overwhelmed and to be careful to make sure that my emphasis and focus is on, you know, reading the Bible and praying and
you're going to be an ostrich, right? You're going to stick your head in the sand.
I'm not talking about being a separatist and a pietist. We've already talked about that on a further past
don't
podcast.
Don't bother me.
No, I'm not going
I can't
down that
see
road.
You. You can't see me.
Yeah, right. No, I don't mean that.
I mean, but this is a huge event.
But, I mean, obviously.
I mean, when the Catholic Church, which has stood firm for centuries, is now questioning some of their most basic doctrine.
Yeah, it's the Pope was put in by, they tried to get him in when Ratzinger got in, you know, Pope Ratzinger. I can't even think right now. Anyway, they tried to get Pope Francis in that time and they failed. And they're called the, oh my goodness, what's the name of it? It's in Switzerland, the Mafia, the Gallen Sankt. Gallen Mafia. That's what they're known as. And they're a group of people who illegitimately would regularly meet every year with the, the illegitimate against canon law intention of getting their person in there.
Oh, I tell you what, Satan would do anything he can to undermine the work of God, you know, and the Catholic Church, as you know, is a big bullseye right on it. Right, because you know, let's take down one of the biggest churches there is, right? The Universal Church, in a sense.
Well, it's the biggest church by far, no question, right? And it's the only institution that old in the world, you know, is the Catholic Church, and it's massively bigger than, you know, any denomination, any Protestant denomination. And I don't say that with any kind of arrogance.
No, I mean,
like
Catholic Church is
a fact.
You know, right? There's factions within the Catholic Church, but I mean, realistically, it's still under the same umbrella. You know, Protestants, that's a very big umbrella, and you've got some whole lot of denominations going on there. But, you know, so my point is that Satan is alive in the secular world. He's alive in the church as well, because
absolutely
his desire.
I mean, he has been since Judas.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the 12 disciples that Jesus picked was, you know, filled with Satan.
Isn't that interesting? God knows it, right? He knows it, and did God love Judas? Absolutely, right? And he brought him closest to him, and yet he would be the one who was the son of perdition, you know?
Well, yeah, you could even argue that when Jesus said to him, "You betray me with a kiss, friend," that he actually wasn't being sarcastic, that even then, had Judas done like what Peter did, Peter betrayed the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Terribly, publicly. But he repented, and then he became the first pope, you know, of the Roman Catholic Church. Come on, you got to laugh at that.
You know, I have become so numb about stuff like that. Like, oh, Peter's the first pope. It's like my defense and my antennas no longer even go up. Okay,
you just know better than to give me the satisfaction, right? Like, oh, yeah, another my. One, right? Anyway, as you were saying,
let's look at that for a second, and I think it's quite interesting. Is because when Jesus says, you know, he says, one of you is going to betray me, and they also, well, who's it going to be? It's like, what do you mean, right, who's it going to be? Is it me? You know, their question, is it going to be me?
Right.
And it's like, that is such a bizarre question. Why are you even asking if it's going to be me? Unless, of course, one or two things. I've thought of it, okay? Or, my destiny is predetermined, and so I have no choice in the matter. And I think it's the first. I think they had all struggled with Jesus as the Messiah and his humanness, that Peter denied him. The disciples all ran away. Some of the things in which he said were so difficult to accept. He goes, well, are you willing to stay with me, or will you leave too? You know, Peter's response, who else can we go to have eternal life? If there is somebody else, let me know. Maybe we'll look at them, okay?
Yeah.
But they had all had their seasons of doubt. And so when he put that out there, I think they all questioned it because they had all questioned, you know, will I deny him?
Yeah, that's good for all of us.
Yes.
For each of us to be that way too, because, you know, we can get in the habit of maybe thinking like, wow, you know, I haven't looked at a woman lustfully in weeks. I'm really holy now, you know, and like, watch it. That image pops up on your, some ad on the computer as you're looking through how to build a room in your basement or whatever.
Well,
and so, I mean, in other words, we're all still have our sinful nature.
Sure we do.
And Satan knows it, and he's hiding and waiting.
And we all, he knows we us all better know than
we
too.
Know ourselves, and he's ready to attack, and we know ourselves that, wow.
We all know it too.
In a split second.
Right.
What about road rage, you know? Somebody cuts you off, and now all of a sudden you're ready to do something real stupid. Any of us have to know that we're
susceptible.
We're of sinful nature, and we're susceptible, and we better be, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, so to speak.
Yeah.
As
I mean, so Jesus said the same thing when they brought that woman to him, right, who had committed adultery, and his response is, okay, you guys start. Whoever was without sin, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
And when it was all said and done, they were all gone, because once they took the time to examine their own heart and lives, they realized, okay, I'm guilty as well. Can't stone you today.
Yeah.
But
it's good to know we're weak and frail and need to every day, especially in these times. Wow, I suppose it's always been. Maybe especially when we thought the times were good and we don't really need to draw close to the Lord, is when it was even more dangerous. Maybe it's less dangerous now that we know that Satan is so active and so out in front and center that now it's less dangerous in the sense that we know every morning you hate somebody, you forgive them.
You know,
you better let it go.
Yeah.
And everything else.
You know, I can't help it. So I've been, for the last month or so, I've been doing the book of Job, and I can't get Job out of my mind. And I find it to be kind of interesting. Because God says, well, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And it's like, here's a man who has an integrity. Did he have the integrity, okay, in and of himself, that God knew that he would not deny him? Or did he have the integrity, and God's Spirit will hold him up during that difficult time of testing. Because what is it that so oftentimes says, no, I didn't do this. I'm not guilty of this. I didn't deserve this. You know, isn't at that time God's affirming Spirit within us speaking to us and say, hey, you don't deserve this. This is not what it's from. And so we kind of work through that, like with fear and trembling, but we hold up because God makes us stand. Jesus says, I can make any man stand, no matter how weak he is.
Yeah. Yeah. You will not be tempted beyond what you are able. His grace is sufficient.
Yeah. That is the comfort that we have. Okay. Am I strong enough today? I mean, his disciples were doubting. Well, who it is? Is it going to be me? Yeah. Because they knew that in and of themselves, they were not, in fact, equal to the task, okay, of standing for Christ. But that God's Spirit can make any man stand.
Yeah. Or some of them, like at one point, Peter was, you know, foolish enough to say, not me, Lord, I'll never deny you, you know. by tomorrow, actually.
Yep, that's what happened that first pope still to do.
Well, yeah, and that's true. And that's a perfect example, too. Like, Paul had to call out Peter publicly because Peter was caving to the Judaizers. Yeah. And he had to be rebuked publicly. And so that is an example Catholics look to as, yes, popes are, they're not perfect. And
they
can lead the church in a terrible way. And yes, at times they have to be called out publicly. Yeah,
absolutely. And will they repent? You know, and I think that's, David had the heart of God, right? And the fact that when he was confronted about his sin, he admitted, he confessed. He repented.
Right.
You know, when Peter was confronted with his sin, he confessed. And that's what God expects from us and gives us the power to do, that when we do fail, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who forgives us and cleanses from all our sins. So but we need not sin. That's the beautiful piece. He says, you don't have to sin, but in case you do, you know, that's the beautiful thing. It's not like we are destined to sin, you know.
Right. Yeah, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we turn to him in repentance. Yep.
So, hey, so what else is going on in this world you want to talk about?
Yeah, nothing much. Probably nothing much going on. Why? What do you mean? I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know who won the last football game. That's what I want to know. I mean, that's what matters.
Football game. It's always on in our house. I never pay attention. It's kind of like something that's good to sleep to.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, my.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's so many things in so many ways. The world around and personal life, and it's like. Yeah, I don't know how people do it apart from faith in God and apart from his grace, you know, upholding them, and apart from his laws that we know to follow to keep us from all kinds of horrid tragedies.
Yeah.
I mean, if people would just follow some basic laws of God, I mean, don't commit adultery, really. I mean, you know what? Isn't your own spouse good enough to get done what you need to get done and, you know, be on your way? Well, that's a pretty crude way of saying it, but I mean, shouldn't you be satisfied with your own spouse? You know, really, you have to go to your neighbor's spouse.
It's so simple, I mean, and yet
don't get drunk. You know,
God makes it so simple for us. He did that really in the Garden of Eden, right? He just told them, don't do one thing, don't eat of that tree. And here's a question for you. I thought about this the other day. Actually, I thought about it today when you talk about the. The reason why did Eve take of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why? I mean,
one possibility is she thought she actually believed the lie that, oh wow, really? You mean God's been holding out on me? You mean if I take this bite, I'm going to be like him?
Right. So why? And so why did she believe the lie?
Yeah, I suppose just listening to, you know, Satan comes as an angel of light and he's come so reasonable So he's just looking out for you.
How about this?
Wants you to be happy.
How about this? Okay, think about this. If somebody would come to tell me, you know, your wife is, she's doing this, this, and this. And I would think, no, she's not. And they go, no, they really is. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason I wouldn't believe it, okay, is because I know my wife. Now, the reason which Eve took of that tree is because, not because Satan was so convincing, okay, that she did not know God well enough.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And God well enough, then we are susceptible to believing a lie.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah, it's just amazing. You can twist things and say, well, I did see her. Does she wear this or does she drive this car? Yeah, okay. But she wouldn't do that. I know her. And Satan is the same way. The only way he can convince us that God would do something as evil as he claims he does to deny in us what we need is when we do not understand who he is. And that's where God's glory is, in us understanding who he is. So, here's another piece I thought was kind of interesting. In the blessing that comes from the Garden of Eden. So oftentimes we look at Adam and Eve and say, you know, you guys really screwed up and made our lives miserable because of that. All right. And I would say, yeah, that is really true. But we have a great gratitude, all right, to Adam and Eve for this purpose, that he who loves much is he who has been forgiven much. In other words, because we have sinned and now we are forgiven, we have a greater understanding of love than had we never sinned.
Right.
And because of Adam and Eve's sin, and now we recognize what love truly is in a greater extent, it's forgiveness. God has taken that sin, like we talked about before, and has made it better than it ever would have been, because now we understand forgiveness, and we are now capable also of forgiving others.
Yeah, that's so powerful, so beautiful. I mean, just imagine how horrible Eve must have felt and Adam after they sinned against God and like, oh, wow, all hope is lost. We've destroyed everything. Why don't we just kill ourselves? Like, no, actually, you trust in God and he saw this coming and he's going to bring something better out of it.
Yeah.
Just like what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It doesn't feel like that at the time. It feels like all is lost and completely hopeless. But, if we hang in there and have faith and don't take matters into our own hands, like kill ourselves or whatever, then God will turn it out too.
And so let's take this idea.
Even better.
Let's take this idea of loving much because you've been forgiven much. And let's take this into the next phase where God creates a new heaven and new earth. And does he take away the opportunity to sin? And I would say, no. Does he take away free will or free choice? And I would say, no. The reason we don't sin, when even though we have the opportunity, is because we have taken of the tree of life, and we now know who God is, and we love him because he's forgiven us, and we understand the depth of that love. We have no interest in sinning, even though the possibility still remains there.
Right. Yeah, he creates in us a new heart so that we desire what he desires for us, which is for our own good.
Wow. Yeah. He,
and so, yeah, we don't desire to
He writes it on our heart.
We're not blinded.
Yeah, he writes it on our heart because we know him. He writes himself on our hearts. And we know that even if we were tempted, which is really no temptation at all, we have victory over that because we know who he is and we know what love is, and we can love because we've been forgiven. And now we can make sure that we don't choose ourselves or our own self-interest over who God is. I think that's going to be the profound difference. You know, when it talks about the new heaven and new earth, guess what? You're going to be able to partake of that tree of, but not of the tree of knowledge and evil. It won't be there, but of the tree of life. And God is life, and we take more and more of who he is, and that keeps us from ever wanting to sin. You know, and so in the book of John, right, he says, you know, they left us because they were not of us. But they had to leave us in order to show they were never of us. In other words, they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know his love and his forgiveness, even though they knew his teaching. They didn't know him, because if they knew him, they would never have left him.
Right.
So the power of knowing.
That's beautiful.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's so important that we, you know God.
Yeah, application today, right?
Spend time with him daily, yeah.
If you want to keep your life in line, if you want to keep misery out of your life as much as you can possibly, know God. Study his word, learn from him, learn him with other people, and you will be far down that road and well prepared for what comes your way. So because things will come your way, right? The life's storms, life's, you know, the life will bring these great storms. And if we know the teachings of God, we have done the teachings of God, we're going to weather these storms. So,
amen. Yeah, we don't have to be all overwhelmed and at all the craziness going on and like, oh no, can I hang on? Can I handle one more thing?
Oh, I tell you
what. With God's grace, we can.
And it just comes piling on, and it just seems like, will it ever end? That's when we've been studying this book of Job. I've had to skip chapters because I'm thinking, how much longer can we keep on doing this? This is dragging me down, you know? But that just seems to be like, this has been going on forever. You know, reading the book of Job goes on forever. But guess what? Under the attack of the enemy, seems like it drags on forever.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we don't get the bigger picture. We get so overwhelmed. Like when I was in that car accident, you know, and the car hit me. And like they say, when you're in a traumatic event, time changes. And all of a sudden, everything was just real slow and deliberate.
Yeah.
And you're fully mindful of everything. And so we can get like that in our lives where trouble is hitting us. And we read terrible things in the news every day now. And we can have that slow down mindset, like, this is reality right now. Well, no, as a matter of fact, it's just a couple of seconds.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. You're right.
And
so
it's nothing. The big scheme of things. God is in control. And hang on.
Hang on, my friend. The ride's not over yet. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Yeah, and he will be glorified, and if we hang in there like that with him, and
he will, and we'll see it.
We will be blessed,
and we'll see it as it is, and just like we will marvel and be like the angels in heaven and go, holy, 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 because it will,
amen.
It will be revealed, and we shall see it, and we will be amazed. So, all righty.
That's right.
Well, hey, Daniel, awesome. I appreciate our time together and talking about, I'm not sure what, quite a few different things, but it's always good to have conversation with you, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love talking with you. That's fun. It's just, for us, it's just like totally natural.
Yeah, I know. They're listening in our conversation. I hope they tuned in and don't tune out as we continue. So, well, God bless you, my friend. Thanks again, Daniel.
All right, God bless you.
Talk to you later.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the last in the series, The Appearance of Randomness. We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue with conversations that make a difference in our lives. Until the next time, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.